This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Hey, we are on our third week of why are we celebrating Christmas? Why do we celebrate the birth of Jesus? And so the question is why did Jesus come? And we know that from week one, we talked about he came to do the will of the Father. He came to do the will of the Father. So we talked about that 2 weeks ago. And then last week, we talked about that he came to give us life and abundant life. Now, I didn't have a chance to finish at the end, but we talked about things that rob the joy of that abundance life that we are supposed to have, that Jesus has provided for us. And sometimes because we're maybe not aware or we lapse in our understanding of what Jesus has done for us, has set us free, and not only set us free, but he has given us the capacity to have abundant life, to have peace and joy. And there are things that rob us from that peace and joy, and all of us are susceptible of being robbed. I've been robbed sometimes of being distracted with busyness, and I also wrote materialism. You know, I would say, especially when I was young, because I was growing up poor, it seemed like I wanted those things that I didn't have when I was young, and I didn't realize how little by little that began to occupy my attention about, you know, I'd like to do these things, and I want to buy that thing I never had it growing up, and, you know, and so little by little, I didn't know that I was being robbed of my joy and my peace because I started falling into this temptation and stealing my joy and peace through materialism. And one of the things that we challenge here in the States and in the West is materialism. You know, it seems like Christmas is all based on our desires to get stuff. You guys, some of you are too young, but there used to be a thing called Black Friday where people would beat up each other to get a TV. And so thank the Lord we can do that online now. We don't have to beat each other up. But back in the day, people would literally line up midnight. And then Walmart got the idea of like, hey, instead of them opening doors at 6 a.m., let's open the doors at midnight, you know, or 10 o'clock the night of Thanksgiving. And it just kind of showed our ugly side as a nation, how we are so addicted to materialism. And as Christians, we can be caught up in all that. You know, and so the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy that abundant life that Jesus was born and died for us to have abundant life. But these little things add up, and they begin to steal from us. Anxiety is through the roof in our nation, and especially among our young people. So Satan is working overtime and coming to kill, steal, and destroy, as the Bible says. But Jesus has come to give us life and abundant life. And so it would behoove us as believers to not only to understand that, but how do we get that abundance of joy? And we talked about that time of intimacy with the Lord, prayer time, solitude, quiet time. I find that's one of the hardest things for me is to find quiet time, turn everything off. I ride a motorcycle, and yeah, I love it. It's not for everybody, all right? So my kids are grown, and if something happens to me, they'll be okay. But one of the things I liked about the motorcycle is that you can't be on your phone and on a motorcycle. It's impossible. And I don't do a Bluetooth, so I can talk on the phone. I mean, I shut everything out. That's why my friend Mark here is on a motorcycle. We ride together. We're the wild hogs, Mosaic wild hogs. And so and we did a long trip together. But it's what I like about it is that I can just kind of quiet my mind and not be distracted. So I'll take a trip from here to Bainbridge, Georgia, to like White Oak Pastures. I wear a T-shirt, that's why I did that. White Oak Pastures, hour and a half. Just quiet time before the Lord so I can hear him. And last week I talked about how beautiful it is when you can hear the voice of the Lord. But it takes you to have that quiet time. It's hard when you have the TV on, the radio on, podcast on, all those things on. It's just really hard to hear the Lord. And during those quiet times is where you find that the Lord will give you peace and he will speak to us. So the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus has come to give us life, and not just life, but abundant life. And so that's where we finished last week. So we want to follow the shepherd's voice. We talked about that last week. We want to abide in Christ. We want to guard against the thief. And those of you who are married, you know, we have to guard against those things that might steal the peace and joy of our marriage. And there's all sorts of things that will kill our marriage, and the enemy will come and steal those things that the marriage is designed to be an abundant life of marriage in Christ. So we have to put on the full armor of God. Adam talked about that a few months ago. I preached on it, I think, last year, about putting on the full armor of God, because Jesus wants us to live an abundant life. And so not only did Jesus come and was born, as we celebrate on December 25th, to do the will of the Father, he came so that we could have abundant life. But today I want to talk to you about, why did Jesus come? And he came to save the world. He came to save you and me. I don't know if I shared this story. I feel bad for the people who have been here all 17 years. It's like my kids. I heard that story. And so I'm sorry, Adam and Kim and all those of you, Rhea, you guys heard these stories, but I don't know if I've ever shared this story. I can't recall. But I almost drowned to death as an adult. Anybody almost drowned to death as an adult? Really, Dave? No fun. I was on a whitewater rafting trip with a bunch of college students, and it was time for us to go down 8-foot drop. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it's whitewater rafting on the Chattooga River. It is. So it was so, I guess, nerve-wracking and scary that we were on like 6 different rafts, our group, and every raft had to pull to the beach, and every raft had a guide, would go to the place of the waterfall, and they had their ropes. And so I was in the back. There was, you know, 2 people in front, 2 people in the middle, and in the back. And then we were the first one to go. And so when our guide says, when we start to go down, I want you to lean in. So when we go in, you're leaning in. So I understood that. But the girl next to me did not hear that. She got scared, and as we started going down, before he said lean in, she leaned in and leaned into me and popped me right out of the boat. And next you know, I go down this waterfall. And it happened so quick, I didn't know that I broke my tailbone. I hit a rock. And apparently, because one of the guides was giving everybody a play-by-play, my students who were up the river, not down the river, thought he was doing the Macarena. And so but he was telling me what was happening to me. I was tossing and twisting in the water. The life preserver was trying to pull me up to the surface, but the white water was pushing me down into the water. And I can remember seeing the top of the water. It was so clear. And I could see all of a sudden these ropes, they're being thrown my way. Now, when the raft made it down and made it to safety, none of the people in my raft knew I had fallen out. So Robin was celebrating, woo! And she turned around to give me a high five, and I'm nowhere to be found. And then she realized there was panic by the waterfall and people were throwing. And I got stuck in that little whitewater, you know, circle. I was stuck under the waterfall. My preserver was trying to pop me up. The water was pushing me down. And they tell you never drop your feet because you don't want your feet to get stuck in a rock and then the water just drowns you. So I didn't do that, but I panicked. And so I started kicking. And then I realized I wish I was taller at that moment. And nothing happened. And then by God's grace, couple things happened. Somebody threw a rope that was close enough, but also I believe God just helped me pop out. And so I literally pop out, and then there's a guy jumped in, grabbed me, and pulled me to the side. And so I'm very grateful for that. Those raft guides saved my life. Amen. It was really weird. I'll finish. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but I was so exhausted. It was like my nearest death experience. I literally started to cry a little bit. I was like overwhelmed, like emotion and adrenaline. And then the lightning hit like 10 feet away from us. So I'm like, okay, Lord, if you're going to take me, take me. Make matters worse, long story short, we were only halfway down the trip. And the guy says, we can haul you up and try to get a helicopter out here, or you can go on the raft. So let's go on the raft. And we had one more big drop. And I couldn't, because my tailbone was broken, I couldn't sit normally. So I just sat on the ground. I was limping. I blew out my elbow. And we go down another one. There was an international student from Uzbekistan. When we went down, his head snapped. He had the helmet on and hit me right in the face. And so, but the Lord saved me that night. And I was, that day, and I was so grateful. And the reason I mention this story is that it's awesome when you are in peril and you get saved. It is awesome. I imagine people have not made it on that river, but that day I did make it on the river. One last story, and I'll go right into the scripture. I was on I-75 near I-4, and I was in my work truck, and I was going south, and I was going by. I see this lady in the median. If you're down there, big median, I-75. Near I-4, and as I'm looking, I'm realizing her car's on fire, but she doesn't know it. She's in there reading a book. I don't know why she was there, but all I know is that I could see the flames engulfing her car, but she wasn't aware of it. So I put on the brakes. I tried to get off on the shoulder as fast as I could. I was already at high speed, and I get my fire extinguisher. I wait for a couple cars to go, and I run across I-75, and now I'm running up the median on I-75 with my fire extinguisher, thinking that I'm gonna be her savior. But it's at least 150 yards, so it took me a while to get there. And by the time I got there, two other cars had stopped, and they brought their fire extinguisher, and I could see them banging on her window, and she didn't want to open the door. It's like, what are you strangers doing? And she had no idea her car. It was really at that time. So finally, she finally opened the door and they dragged her out. And here I come with my little fire extinguisher. And so I thought I was going to be a savior. But that lady was very grateful that somebody had came to save her and pulled her out of the car. So next, her whole car got engulfed. The whole thing melted down before the fire trucks came. I'm just saying it's really awesome when someone comes to save you. It really is awesome. And Jesus came to save the world. He came to save me and you. So why did Jesus come? Why did he come? So that our lives can be transformed. He came to save the world because Jesus, the Bible tells us that for God so loved the world, he gave his what? His only begotten son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It just dawned on me, probably our younger people may not know that passage by memory. That's something that was instilled in all of us as we were a young kid in church. If you don't know that verse by memory, can I suggest that you learn it? It's really a key verse. And I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if you don't know, make that a challenge of 2025, at least to memorize John 3:16. Why did Jesus come? Why was he born? Because God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And God has what I would say unconditional and available love for all of us. 1 John 4:9 says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. It's proof of God's love for us. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Amen? He came to save us. And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And that's what we talk about, that God, through his son, Jesus Christ, we had a ladder here yesterday to adjust those lights. He came down the ladder and came to earth to be with us. He's not asking us to climb up the ladder. He came down and be with us. Now, one thing I know about God, because he was incredibly patient with me, is that he is patient with us, and he loves us so much. He waited a long time for me to be, for my eyes to be open and to be reconciled with him. And so maybe there's some parents here who knows what it's like to just continue to pray and long for your children. Maybe you have wayward children or wayward siblings. Maybe you have a wayward spouse, and you're holding on because you love that person. And Jesus, God through his son Jesus, does the very same thing. I have a friend of mine from Sarasota. I won't mention his name, but it was my friend's dad. And his friend's dad's wife, my friend's mom, left and abandoned the family. And she lived a pretty, sadly, a very wild, sinful life. She had two kids who were teenagers. And they had all of a sudden no mom. And that father, because I remember praying with him at the big church service, he would continue to say, I'm waiting for my wife to come back home. And this wife has already been with other men. And for, I think it was like 15 years, he waited for her. And eventually, because of his love for her and his patience, she came back to him and repented and gave her life to the Lord. And so that's, an idea of what Jesus does, waiting for us because he loves us so much that he sent his son, waiting for us to reconcile with him. Why does he have to reconcile with us? Because the world is broken, Romans 3:23, which we did about 6 weeks ago. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. This is Paul talking to the church in Rome. Do we have any advantage? Is there an advantage being a cultural religious person? No. That's what he says, not at all. If we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. And the Bible says, as it is written in Romans 3:23, verse 10, there's not one person who is righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away, and they all together have become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. So why was Jesus born? Why did he come? He came so that we can have a relationship with the Father, because we are being rebellious and we are lost and we are drowning in our own selfishness. And so that's what the Bible tells us. There, and it said he's talking about the people. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced. We're not going to be able to stand before God and say, well, I've done this and I've done that, because there's nothing that we could say that we could earn our own salvation. So Bible says in verse 20 of chapter 3 of Romans, therefore no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of their law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Righteousness comes through faith. Comes through faith. For all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. And all are justified. How? How are we justified? This is why Jesus was born. It says this, all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. We talked about last week about the shepherd and the sheep, and they know this voice, and they can only come through the shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know his voice, and it can only come through Jesus. So if you hear anything this morning, just want you to know that Jesus came so that we might have life, abundant life, but he came so we could be saved through Jesus, because we needed him. We were lost and we were drowning in our own selfish sin. And we can't, and then we're not going to be able to stand before the Lord and say, well, I went to church every week. I gave to the church. Those are good things, but it's not what saves us. It's faith in Jesus. Another reason, why did Jesus come? Why was he born? To redeem and reconcile humanity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And he has committed himself for us to be reconciled to God. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And this morning, you could have been coming to Mosaic Church since day one. You could participate in all our small groups. You could be a member of Mosaic Church. But let me just tell you, none of that will save you or me. Those are results of being saved. But let's not fool ourselves thinking that those things will save us. And so the Bible tells us, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. At the end of this message, we're going to sing a song that we already sang, one of the Christmas carols, which were all spot on today. Amen. They were powerful. Again, it just coincides with why Jesus was born. Why was Jesus born? We know that he came also to fulfill prophecy. Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. But he who was pierced for our transgression, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray, each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So Jesus came to fulfill the prophecy, and it took on the sins of humanity. And so there's all sorts of Old Testament prophecies that point to Jesus and confirm who Jesus is. So why did he, was Jesus born? How did he do this? He did this because he lived a sinless life. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Amen? That's also an important doctrine and understanding of who Jesus is. Through his sacrificial death, we know that Jesus died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus, the Father, loved us first. And by his physical resurrection, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:20. And just so you know, as Mosaic Church, we say that, through our Apostles' Creed, but we say that we believe in the historical Jesus, that he actually lived. There was a physical Jesus who physically died. And when I say physical, I mean like how you and I see physical people, and he was physically raised from the dead. It wasn't figuratively, it wasn't just his teachings, but we believe that he himself rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection for the dead, of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still stuck in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. I want to make that very clear, that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. That's powerful, amen? And that's why Jesus came and how we get to be saved through Jesus. We have victory over sin and death. We have relationship with Jesus. We have peace that goes beyond understanding. We have joy. Believers, we should be the most joyous people on earth. Even though life might stink, we can have that supernatural joy of the Lord. So how should we respond? Before the band comes up, we should actually believe in Jesus. Ask him to not only come into our lives, but to bend our knees and say, Lord, I need you. I need a savior. Salvation is a gift and must be received by faith. We need to hear the words of the Lord and obey them. So that's part of being a disciple, is do what the rabbi does. Our father, through his son Jesus, we do what he does. We have to deny ourselves and take up our cross. And we have to crucify the flesh. And I have to do that every day myself. Although I didn't do that with my gummies today. Sorry. I stole one of the kids' snacks downstairs. But also he's asking us to share the message. Can I encourage you? This is like a perfect time to share the message. People, you know, hear Christmas carols, you know, the TV shows, Christmas themed. And we can begin to use this time to share the good news of Jesus. So Jesus wants us to be his ambassadors. And so talk to people. One of the challenges we have in America is that people, I believe our pastor at City Church, he wrote a book, but the premise was people who think they're saved, but they're not really saved. And it's because they are part of a church, the culture. They're part of the culture, but they don't really know Jesus. And so that's the challenge here down in the South. It's not the same out in the Northeast or the Northwest of our country, but here in the South, it's about having faith in Jesus and having a relationship with him. So it's our opportunity and it's our challenge to share the message. Go and make disciples. So how do we conclude? Because Jesus loves us and he redeemed us and he came to give us life and to do the will of the Father and to fulfill prophecy, he's also endowed us to share the good news. He saved us through his perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his victorious resurrection. So that's what we love about Easter. We're going to celebrate the resurrection. So what do you do? Now, if you've never, you have been a really good cultural Christian, we appreciate that. But that won't hold when we stand before the Father. We have to have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes as the band comes on up. And I'm going to ask you, if you've never given your life to Jesus, you know, you like the Christian culture. People are nice, friendly, they serve one another. It's good, wholesome culture, which we hope that's the case. But you don't really know if you've ever said, you know, Jesus, I'm sorry. I need you. I need to be saved. I was drowning in a river of selfishness and sin. There are many times where maybe you could say to the Lord, there are many times I could see how you threw the rope of salvation and I walked away from it. If that's you, I'd love to chat with you afterwards and pray with you. And then you say, Pastor Moore, I would like a closer relationship with Jesus. I don't think I've ever bowed my knee to him. Boy, I can't think of a better time than right now to do that. If that's you, you would just raise your hand. I'll pray with you afterwards. Thank you, Lord. But how are we to respond? Well, one thing we could do, Father, I pray that you would help us as a church to respond by sharing this good news. We don't want to take our light and hide it under a bushel. We want to share the good news. So, Lord, I pray right now in these next 10 days before Christmas, that you would give us an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus or share our testimony. And if that's you, you say, Pastor Mario, I'm going to pray that. I'm going to pray that with you, that I get an opportunity. Just raise your hand so I can believe that God will use you. Yes. Lord, I pray, God, for every person who raised their hand, that you would use them supernaturally, give them supernatural interactions with people who need or want to hear what this good news is about. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would help them, empower them by your Holy Spirit. Lord, give me an opportunity as well. Lord, we say thank you. Lord, help us to respond to your why you came, why you were born, by sharing this good news that we have in our hearts, and the peace and the joy that comes from serving you, the abundant life. So Lord, I pray, God, is about, Lord, we want to be thankful and grateful people. And Lord, we are commit ourselves to you again to follow you fully. We need you. We say thank you, Father. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to sing this song to just help solidify what the Spirit is saying.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.